Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Today's daf Lamed Hey. So we've got ourselves into a really, really sticky sugya here. And we've been going through the very difficult sugyas in the Mishnah and Tiras of the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, as to what the halacha is in terms of psul gvia, an individual who ate a chatzi pras of food, and we said that we have a special takana over there, takana drabanan, that even though ochlin are normally not metame adam, there is a special halacha because of a chashash of being metame truma, that in a case where someone was eating a dover that was tame, and we'll discuss in a moment the makalokas of the tuma, that he would also be considered to be makabel tumas haguf. This was in order to prevent him from putting some truma wine into his mouth while he was eating something that was tame. And because of that, they made the shira to be the shira of a chatzi pras, which is two beitzim of food, according to Rashi. And the reason for that is because it to be chayshish, that you're going to bedafka drink while you're eating, is only where you're eating something that's significant that's going to make you thirsty at the time. Fine. Now, the machlokas was that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we had a pretty straightforward idea that we're going to give the person the same tumah as the tumah that he ate, and he built that concept on the idea that someone who eats a nivas of tahar, he becomes even more tameh than the of tahar itself is, because of tahar is hametameh at all b'chutz. And therefore, we took that as an indication that we can at least make the person who eats his tummy as the food that he's eating. And Mashenkein Rabbi Yehoshua holds, you can't learn anything out of Nivlas of Tahar, because that's a completely off-the-wall kind of chiddush. It's the exact opposite of all normal tumah, in that it's an avela that's not metame b'maga, not metame b'masa, but is metame b'tuma when you swallow it, which is normally tumas b'sastarim, which wouldn't be tomato, and therefore doesn't serve as a model. And instead, what we need to look at, according to Rabbi Yeshua, is a bit complex, because he goes up and down. And the usually, what he says is that, look, normally I would say if you eat a rishon, you're not going to become a rishon, you never become the same as what it is that you ate, but we would make you a sheni, which is the norm. However, if you eat a sheni, you also become a sheni, but that's because there is such a thing as sheni, or is a sheni, if it goes through mashkin. And if you ate a shlishi, then you would actually become a sheni, but only legabe kochim. And now I'm talking about a case in which you eat a sheni that is a you're talking over here of eating a shlishi of a chulin shenasu al teres truma, which itself is tame vis-a-vis kodesh, and therefore we make you a sheni, which even though you only ate a shlishi. That was Rabbi Yeshua's very sort of ad hoc, it seemed. Each thing was different, and we weren't following a particular pattern. So the last thing that we learned yesterday was that in the event, as Ula says, that a person would actually eat truma, that was a kula that was not saltaris truma, then the halacha would be that since truma itself is considered to be something that's tame vis-a-vis hagdash, so the din is that you actually would become a shlishi if you eat chulin shenasu altaris truma. And that was Ula's chiddush. And today, we want to attack that chiddush. We're in the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and Rav Amnuna wants to disprove Ula's svara, and in fact, learn the Mishnah that says, sheni lekodesh, but not sheni letruma. It doesn't mean not sheni letruma, but is a shlishi letruma, which, remember, important, please, recall all the halachas. A shlishi is not able to affect truma at all. Only a sheni can affect truma to make the truma a shlishi. But a shlishi is usur to eat truma. So we would view your body having eaten a sheni for something that is only chulin shenasu taras truma. We would view your body as a shlishi when it comes to eating kodesh, since truma itself is considered to be tameh for kodesh. Okay, so now Rav Amnuna taines against Ula from a Beferisha Mishnah. This is our Mishnah in Tyrus, where it says, Harishon Shebechulin. So let's say, what are the, remember we went through the levels of Tuma when we were learning Tyrus. And the Mishnah goes through the different levels vis-a-vis what they are mitame. So something that is a Rishon, if it's Chulin, it is actually Tame, and it would be mitame, something else to make it a Sheni. But if it's a Sheni, it cannot be mitame, it can only be Posel, which means that it's only going to affect Truma. Remember that posel means that the thing itself is usher to eat. Chulin is never usher to eat. So the thing itself is usher to eat because it's truma, but it doesn't emanate any tuma. That type of thing is called psul, and because of that, what makes it posel is not technically mitame. It only is posel through causing a lower level of tuma, but that's called posel. Hasheni, therefore, is posel, but it will not be mitame anything as a sheni. A shalishi of chulin is so completely unaffected by tuma that you can even eat that shalishi together with nezid hadema. Now, nezid hadema means a nezid is like the nezid hatashim. It's an oatmeal, right, or a lentil dish, whatever. And it has truma in it. Dema means something that is mixed with truma, dimua. Oh, so what happened? So you used, date flavoring inside of your oatmeal, and that date was truma. And so you would think that if you're talking about a shlishi, then you certainly wouldn't be able to mix a shlishi, even benezida dema, but it says over here, there's no problem. You can put chulin that is a shlishi into a nezid hadema. So that means that even though it's going to be coming into contact with truma, that for sure is not a problem because touching, remember, of shlishi does not affect truma. Only affects kodesh sometimes. And what's more, the thing that it says here is that you can eat it. Well, if you can eat it, so then according to Ula, we've got a problem. Because since according to Ula, if you eat shlishi of chulin shenasa al taras truma, now obviously this chulin had to be nasa al taras truma if you are mixing it with truma, right? So this is chulin shenasa al taras truma, and it says you can eat it even though it is a shlishi, but the problem is that we said that if you eat it, that in that case, you actually would become a sheni. That's exactly what it was that Ula said, Beferish. He said, if you eat, then you become actually a shlishi, becomes a sheni Lakodesh, but not Latruma, but you do become a Shlishi Latruma. And a Shlishi Latruma means, according to Ula, as we just said before, it means you can't eat it. It means you can touch it, but you cannot eat it. And here it says, Beferish in the Mishnah, go eat your oatmeal, even though this oatmeal contains Truma in it. Now, this is a little bit ridiculous. If he's in the very act of eating it, he is going to become usher to eat Truma, then how can he eat something which is part of something that contains truma? That's crazy. We're giving him something to eat, and we say, oh, there's no problem in eating it. But as soon as he eats it, he is going to become tamei because he ate something that was chulin shenasa al taras truma. And we say he becomes a shlishi nifsal gufo milechal betruma. So this is insane. You're going to give the person something to eat. He's going to eat it. And in eating it, he becomes usher to eat what he's eating because what he's eating contains truma. Does this make sense? You put in your date sugar in there and now you're going to let him eat it? Say, Amrit, if what you are claiming, Ula, is true, that if you eat a shlishi of chulin that became chulin shlishi only because it was a level of chulin that was nasal tyrus truma, and this was nasal tyrus truma, remember? Because, after all, you're going to be mixing it with the truma in your oatmeal. So we give them to eat. Safina la midi de posole la gufe. That's nuts. And we give him something that is going to make his very goof fossil to eat the very truma that you're giving him to eat. I don't understand. So obviously the Mishnah does not hold that you become usher to eat truma, because then you wouldn't be allowed to eat your oatmeal, which contains truma. Now that's the way that Tosfos believes is the correct way to learn the sugya. It's the way Rashi initially brings, and he says he doesn't like this approach. Tosfos answers Rashi's objection to this approach, and it's the most logical approach, according to which the next words are very simple. To which Ula answers, Rav Amnuna, this is ridiculous. There's no problem over here, because the case that you have is not that we're giving him something that he's going to be eating truma. He's not going to be eating truma. He's not? I thought you said he put in this, what do they call that, the date, with Silvan? What is it called? What's the word for the
date syrup, Silvan. Silvan, date syrup.
Yeah. Date syrup, oh, so.
Silan.
Oh, that's it, Silan. No, I thought, okay, Silan. So, the Nezira Dema, how much does it have of that Silan in it, do you think? Because remember, if something doesn't contain a Kizayas Pichtei Achilas Pras, then that means that it isn't actually, it doesn't have the Mamashut that is able to be Mechayev you for Achila, right? You need to have, in order to define something as Achila, you need to have a Kizayas. And that Kizayas needs to be consumed within the amount of time that it would take you to eat a Pras of normal achila. Okay, whatever that shear is, it depends on what it is, and there's many different shitas, but certainly in the amount, if you're looking at the amounts, if you have a actual pras of oatmeal, you certainly do not have within one pras of oatmeal a full kizayas of silan. That's crazy, man. I mean, they take you to the hospital for over-sweetening. So because of that, why worry? If anyway you don't have that amount of truma there, the Rabbana didn't make a gezeira to aser your achila as a shlishi of something that isn't really there, and it's only the taste of it that's there. Therefore, ha-nachlin ezid ha-dema, deleka kezayit b'fei achilas pras. There's no possible way that you can eat in the amount of time it takes you to eat that pras, that you could eat a full shear of a kezayit of just the silan. So even if your oatmeal is tamei and you eat it, you're not going to be over on achilas truma. And because of that, since it's almost entirely chulin, and it doesn't matter to me in that case whether it's a shlishi, because the Mishnah says you can eat it because you're not really eating it. That's not called achila of truma. So there's no problem of your eating it. That's the simple meaning. Now, Rashi understands the sugya in a completely, as I say, he mentioned this pshat also, but he himself suggests that this is not the correct way to understand the sugya. And because of that, he learns that the real issue is the words that we're saying, safina lamide, would we feed a person something that gives him a din of tumas haguf? So Rashi is mechadash here that when the Gemara learns out elsewhere, which Tosfos argues with, the Gemara learns out elsewhere in Yuma from the lashon of altitam ubahem v'nitmeitem bam. So there's a sheet over there that says v'nitmeitem bam means your body will become tummy through achil, according to which tumas gviya is diuraisa. And even if you don't hold that tumas gviya is diuraita, there's an isser of making yourself tummy. So if you are a person that is exposed to truma and so on, you're not supposed to be tummy. That's why we're saying the problem is, why are we giving him something that would make him tummy? Therefore, so Rashi learns the situation over here is not talking about chulin shenas al taras hakodesh, and we're talking about regular chulin. And therefore, when we say shlishi nechal, even if it is nezid hadema, that was nogea b'sheni letuma, that nezid hadema is actually, should be shlishi, but it's completely mutter to eat it. And the reason that the Gemara answers, why is it mutter to eat it? Because it isn't viewed as actually something that is al tairas truma. Because the fact that it's in an Azidadema doesn't mean it's Altaris Truma, because you don't have to be makbid on it, Altaris Truma, because you don't need to worry about its being Makabal Tuma as Truma, since it doesn't have a Kizayis Kutriachiyot's Pras. Completely different approach to the Sugya. We'll take Tosfos' approach and Rashi's initial approach as the Pashtus. So let me review it again. Since this was a Chulin Shinasu Altaris Truma, by virtue of its being mixed with Truma, which means that obviously you kept it on the Madriga, that it was Altaris Truma, because you were going to mix it with Truma. And it's a Shlishi. And it says over here, you can eat it. And the problem is, the moment that you eat it, according to Ula, if it was Chulin Shinasu Altaris Truma, you actually become a Shlishi Latruma. What does that even mean? It means you're not allowed to eat Truma, even though you can't be Matame yet by touching it. You can't possible it by touching it, but you can't eat it. That's all. In which case, and remember, we find many cases where there's something that is more chivid than the whole din of Tevul Yom, but something is more chamer when you're eating it than when you're touching it. Okay. In any event, if this is the case, we have staved off this attack on Ula's approach. Like a kizayis b'chdei achilat pras. Now, another din, Legabi Achilas Tuma, is Omer Rabbi Yonatan, Omer Rabbi. What about if you eat a shlishi, not of Chulin Shinasu Altaris Truma, but you eat a shlishi of actual Truma? So then the halacha is, you are not allowed to eat that Truma, but you are allowed to touch that Truma. Because a shlishi, even if we're going to say you are a shlishi, you cannot be metame something, and Shlishi Shel Truma is not going to be able to be metame at all. But eating it makes you usher to eat Truma. So this is the same din that Ula said, except that Ula was talking about Shlishi of Chulin Shinasu Altaris Truma, whereas over here, Rebbe is talking about a Shlishi of Truma itself. Do I need both of these dinim? Oh, I do, says the Gemara. Itzrich to Ula, v'itzrich to Rabbi Yonatan, Omar Rabbi. You need to have both of them. Ula was talking about Chulin Shinasu Altaris Truma, but it wasn't really Truma. And Rabbi was talking, Rabbi Yonatan, who quoted Rabbi, was talking about the Truma itself. In both cases, we say that if you eat that Shlishi, that you will be usher to eat Truma. So now, the question why I need both is because Imi Ula, let's say I would have only had Ula's din of Chulin Shinasu Altaris Truma. So I would have said, this din that you're not allowed to eat Truma, but you are allowed to touch Truma, that's because you only ate Chulin Shinasu Altaris Truma. But if you ate actual Truma that was Tame and it was a Shlishi, then you wouldn't even be allowed to touch Truma, maybe. Maybe we were more machmer on you. And, therefore, because of that, I need Rabbi Yonatan Amar Rebbe to tell me, no, actually, it's exactly the same thing. You're not usher ever to touch based on a shlishi. You're only usher to eat. And if I would have only had that, then I would have said, well, where are we machmer that you become usher to eat truma? That's only if you ate something that was really a shlishi. And that's truma itself. But if you only ate virtual truma, because it was Chulin Shinasu Altaris Truma, and that's why it was a shlishi, I would think you were even allowed to eat truma. That's why I need Ula to tell me, no, you're even, if it's only a virtual truma, because it's only Chulin Shinasu Altaris Truma that became a shlishi, in eating it, you're still not allowed to eat truma. Okay. So now this clarifies the halacha of achilas chulin b'tairis truma. Now, getting back to the main case that we were talking about, which was chulin shinasu altaris hakedesh, which is the way that we got into this whole complex discussion. So Yosef Reb Yitzchak Reb Shmuel bar Martha, kameda Reb Nachman. So you were sitting there, and Yosef Amar, somebody who eats a shlishi of Chulin Shinasu Altaris HaKodesh, such an individual is completely tahar and he in terms of Kodesh, and he's allowed to even eat Kodesh. Why is this? She'ein lecha davar she'oseh revi b'kodesh. We cannot make a revi, which would mean to actually make foodstuffs revi, or to give a person who ate something that was a shlishi a din of isra achila, which would mean that we're giving him a din of revi. I don't give a hang what level revi you're talking about. You cannot make a revi unless you are talking about not only that it's really kodesh, it is really kodesh that is mikudash. Meaning what? That the fact that you said hareze ola, that's all very nice. That makes it kodesh, absolutely. Or you said hareze bincha, makes it kodesh. But until you put it into a kli to be mekadesh it, or until this kodesh was mekudesh through the zrikas adam of whatever was korban was being matirid to be its minchas v'soch, whatever it is that makes it the kedushas haguf, unless it has that actual kedushas haguf, it cannot be sensitive to a level of tuma that will create a level of revi. And therefore, the person who eats it cannot become usher, because that would mean that the shlishi affected him to be a revi. Anything that touched it cannot become usher, because it would mean that a shlishi made a revi. And the only time that we have a concept of shlishi making a revi is if this kodesh was not merely belongs to kodesh, therefore was usher b'mi'ila, and that's not the point. The point is that it has a kedushas haguf that it received from being put into klishores, or from having them whatever avaida was necessary to do in order to make it kodesh, and that is the only time that you could ever have a level of kedusha that can either become a revi or make something a revi. And therefore, the whole thing, since the din, this is Rashi understands the din of Revi, Bekodesh is a din derabbanan. The rabbanan were not metakein this halacha according to Revi Yitzchak to stam kodesh. They only made it for the aimaila of kodesh mikudash. So that's his first chiddush. And the second chiddush is that all of your discussion of something that cannot make another food into a revi could make a person into a revi, that is absolutely ridiculous, says Rav Yitzchak. If it's something that can't make a food a revi, it can't make a person who eats it into a revi. And therefore, to say that this person is osur b'achilas kodesh means that you're saying he is essentially a revi, but that can't make a revi. And therefore, he would say that everything that you're talking about until now is just absurd. Eating shlishi shel kodesh, that chulish and asu al taras ha-kodesh, is not only not kodesh but kodesh, it's not even really kodesh. So it's two steps away from making it possible for you to become usher with a din of your body. And we assume that, therefore, that for sure would be true about truma. That's not necessarily true, as we'll see. But that's our assumption. Anyway, so therefore, if you have stam chulin, in that would be chulin shenazor ataris kodesh, or chulin shenazor ataris truma, how could it possibly be that it makes you a tumas haguf? Mosiv Rami Bar Chama, I don't understand what you are talking about, says Rami Bar Chama to Rav Yitzchak Bar Marta. This is ridiculous. It's against the Mishnah. And like, where does this come from? We've just been talking about the whole time of this Mishnah. Shlishi sheni lekodesh ve'ein sheni letruma v'chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh. Excuse me. So now it says somebody who eats chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh, according to Rabbi Yoshua, becomes a sheni lekodesh. Am I missing something over here? How in the world, if the food that he ate was not only not kodesh but kodesh, it wasn't even kodesh? And you're saying over here, Beferish, in the Mishnah, this is Rabbi Yeshua Shita, if you eat that chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh with a shlishi, it makes you a sheni. I mean, forget about making you a revi, for God's sake, it makes you a sheni. I understand what you're saying. You said it can't possibly make him tamei, as the tumas haguf that prevents him from eating kochim. And here it says in the Beferish of Mishnah, not only does it make him tamei, it makes him super tamei. It becomes like a sheni. What are you talking about? Wait a minute here, says Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Martha. What do we, that case was talking about. Hulin Shanazu al Tyrus Truma. Excuse me, sir. Now, you made the assumption that if I said, even if you eat Kadesh, it couldn't possibly make you tummy, because, and therefore for sure not Hulin Shanazu al Tyrus Truma. Exactly the opposite is true. Hulin Shanazu al Tyrus Truma is more tummy than Hulin Shanazu al Tyrus Kadesh. That's the point. Why do I say such a thing? Because something that was made on the Tyra of Truma is tummy for something that is Kadesh. Now, what is this idea based on? So please remember the whole sugya in Chagiga of the Males Hatuma, in which we learned that if you are eating your Chulin B'Tyra and you're super duper frum about this issue, you never let anything tabe come near anything that you are eating. Your clothing, if it gets near to the one of these Purushim who are eating truma, is going to be metame that truma, and it'll be metame the person, and me tame, I never get near tuma. That's the takana. That a lower level of da'at, and remember again, this is so central to our understanding, all of these dinim of tuma. Tuma is a function of consciousness, and therefore we take for granted dealing with things that require greater kedusha, by definition require a higher level of consciousness. It's like when you put on your tefillin. So when you put on your tefillin, you need to be conscious of all types of things that you wouldn't necessarily even be thinking about if you weren't wearing tefillin. You have to be careful about bodily functions you don't even notice, and so on and so forth, right? So it requires that you not be mesiach das. Remember, we learn that from the tzitz that only has one shame, yudke vavke in it, kolshik and your tefillin, and you have to be like the kohen gadol, and you can't be mesiach das from your tefillin. Okay, that's what it means to be eating something that is Kadesh. So you could say, I am keeping all of my food in utmost level of Tahira. But let me tell you something, buddy. Your utmost level of Tahira is the level of consciousness of an animal compared to human consciousness of people that are eating Truma. And we say the same thing to the guy who's eating Truma. You think you're conscious of it. And you think that you have been very careful. I understand a little piggy also thinks that, but piggies don't have much of an awareness of what's going on. And you, who are only a kohen eating truma compared to me, a kohen who is eating kadesh, is like the das of a little piggy. That is not considered to be shmira. That is hesech hadas, and it's tame. And if you come near me, goodbye. The next level would be true for Pura. You're somebody who's eating kadesh makudesh. Don't get near me, because I'm dealing with the level of a Pura Duma, which is more, and so on. So all of those issues of levels of consciousness, which create an effective tuma. Why an effective tuma? Because unless you know that you're not in contact with something, you have to be concerned that you were in contact with that something. So the level of awareness is, I'm sure nothing tummy got near me, is not enough to watch you when you need greater levels of watching. It's as simple as that. Look, I mean, this sounds a little bit esoteric, but it's really not at all. Let's say if you are in a position in which you are dealing with issues where you've got these newspaper people all around you, and they're analyzing every word that you say, and then if you say the wrong word, it's splashed over the entire, you know, like God only knows it'll create World War III if you said some word that you would, the mic was open and you lose your job. I mean, that's a completely different level of awareness of what's going on around you than if you're just sitting around having cocktails with somebody, right? So, okay, so it's the same essential idea. How aware of you, what is going on around you, of what you're thinking, of what you're saying, and so on. Good. Therefore, Tainas Rav Yitzchak, why are you asking this ridiculous question? You're talking about Chulin that was Nasa al Tyrus Truma, and you're saying that that should be the same as Chulin Shanazu al Tyrus HaKadesh. Hanach le Truma. Truma itself is considered to be Tamei if it comes into contact with Kodesh. Because, after all, Eichlei Truma are going to be Tamei, and their clothes are Tamei, then you can't, somebody who's eating Kodesh can't even touch the clothing of somebody who's eating Truma. So, it's worse. We have to consider it to be Tamei. Where do I say such a thing from? Now, this is wild, because this is a tremendous extension of the concept that we've had until now. Remember, we've been talking about until now something that is Tamei because it was Truma Shenaseh al Taras HaKodesh. What actually Rav Yitzchak is saying over here is that even if it's Tahor, it's Tamei for Kodesh. And we never saw that before. So don't confuse it with what we talked about before. There we said, how did this thing become Tamei? It became Tamei because it was really only Chulin. So how did it become Tamei from touching something that's not Metamei Chulin? It only touched the Sheni. Because I had said that it was Chulin Shenaseh al Taras Truma. But it did become Tamei. Never did we have anybody who claimed that Truma itself is actually Tamei, if it's completely Tahar. You see? It's very important to understand this in order to get the machlokas that we're going to get into today. If somebody was Shomer the Truma, and he was only Shomer because it was Truma, not because it was Kodesh, do we have any reason to believe that it became Tamei? No. That's what we hold. Rabbi Yitzchak says, you have every reason to believe it became Tamei, because you don't know what's going on. Right? Until now, we've been talking about if you had something that you know became Tamei. Okay, if it became Tamei, maybe it became a lot more Tamei than you think. I mean, obviously, you didn't do much of a job of Shmira, did you? You let it become Tamei. Then you let it become Tamei. Maybe it was touched by a Tamei mace. I don't know. You're obviously a jerk. But never did we say that something that is Tahar is Tamei because of the fact that you're a jerk. The only time we say that is where it's somebody who's choshed, ala tyrus, and amar, it's whatever, right? But normally what we're going to say, regular truma that's been kept in a refrigerator in a Kohen's house becomes tummy automatically if it's next to Kodesh. Whoever is such a thing. But that's what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying. And Rabbi Yitzchak says, I'll prove that to you, okay? I don't understand why you think this is such a big chiddush. It's a beferish mishnah that we had in Chagiga. What's the din? Big day Ame Haaretz are Midras LaPrushim. Midras, big day Prushim are Midras LaEchlei Truma. Big day Ochlei Truma are Midras LaKodesh. This is without any Tuma. Don't tell me that I'm crazy. The Mishnah says Beferish, without any Tuma whatsoever. If a person who's Makbid on Tuma comes into contact even with the clothing of an Ame Haaretz, it's going to be Metame his chulin, and it's Metame his body. And if somebody who is completely tar and very careful comes into contact with someone who, his clothing, come into contact with someone who's eating truma, it's Metame. Why is it Metame, for heaven's sakes? So you see from here, says Rabbi Yitzchak, you don't need an actual event to make something Tame. It's Tamei if we assume that your level of consciousness is insufficient to watch it. So I say, Truma is Tuma for Kachim. And therefore, if you have Chulin Shenaseh al Taras Truma, it's as if it's Tamei as far as Kodesh is concerned. I only said by din, if it's Kodesh, that code, real Kodesh, is not going to be able to make something a Revi unless it was already Mekodesh Bekli. That's all I said. Don't ask me from the Mishnah, which was talking about Chulin Shenaseh al Taras Truma. That's considered to be Tuma on the level of Kodesh. So since it says this Beferish in the Mishnah, that without any actual exposure to Tuma, the clothing of a person who eats Truma, and we have no reason to believe that it became Tamei. So forget about the Truma. Even his clothing is considered to be Tamei vis-a-vis a person who's eating Kodesh. Doesn't that show that I am correct? And that you have to view Truma as something that is Tuma vis-a-vis Kodesh? Omar Rava, of course not. What a complete misunderstanding of life. The idea in the Mishnah in Chagiga is limited to the case of the Mishnah in Chagiga. What is the Mishnah talking about? Midras. Your clothing is considered to be midras. Why is that? Midrasot? Midrasot, comrade? You're trying to bring me a raya from Big Day Amoritz or Midras? Or Big Day Ochle Truma or Midras? Of course, that's different. Shiny midrasot, that is a special takana. Why? Because midras is the most sensitive of all of the tumas, remember. I mean, midras means that without any maga, remember, without any maga whatsoever, there could be, this was the princess and the pea case of midras, right? And something is underneath a pile of clothing. Let's imagine a case. There's a pile of laundry on the couch. Your poor tired wife sits down and folds the laundry. But your wife hadn't gone to the mikveh, and she is Anida, and she is metame all of the clothing and the couch and everything that's under it, and it never occurred to her that you had left your talis on the bottom underneath the couch or underneath the laundry. So, I mean, the most reasonable thing in the world is that if somebody is not aware of the level of the required awareness for Truma, Kodesh, or whatever, the chances of living a normal life without somehow or other begotten becoming Tomei Bemidras in a regular functional home is almost afsi. How would nobody that has Tumas Aguf never sit down on this thing? So you're talking about Midras. So that's a special situation. What you have done is taking Midrasot, which is a special gezerah, and you're telling me that a poor truma pumpkin minding its own business in the refrigerator is tummy. That's horrific. Never heard anything of the sort. Don't try to bring me any kind of raya from the din in Chagiga, which was limited to midrasot. So midrasot, shiny midrasot, shema teisheva leim ishto nida. The whole point over there is that it's the most common and reasonable situation to have occurred in the most sensitive of all of the tumas. Avol beperi, a poor, sweet, little, happy pumpkin? Lo amrino, we would never say such a thing that it would be tame just because it's sitting there minding its own business. How would such a thing happen? And Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't agree. Rabbi Yitzchak holds that this halacha is a halacha about things which are tahar on level A are considered to be tamei on level B. The specific din of midrasot obviously is only true about things that can become tamei midras, which do not include pumpkins, but they do include the clothing. Fine, that's a different level. But it doesn't mean that the overall gezerah is not correct. And Rabbi Yitzchak therefore holds this incredible chiddush that peperot nami amrina, that stam peirot of truma are considered to be tahar tamei legabe kodesh. And therefore, I'd say, okay, well, naturally. So then the level of tuma is higher, and they're going to make it usher, says Rabbi Yoshua, for you to eat kodesh. I never disagreed with that. All I said was, if it really is kodesh, then it cannot make a revive kodesh, which means, translated, it cannot turn you into a person who's usher to eat kodesh, unless it is actually kodesh mekodesh, which makes perfectly good sense to me. Maser Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Midift. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Difti Taina. There's no way that Rabbi Yitzchak can get away with saying that Peres of Truma are considered to be Tomei Legabe Kodesh. Mi Amrina and Peri. But what about a Beferish Mishnah in Chagiga itself? But not. So there in Chagiga it says like this. Remember that normally we consider Ame Haaretz not to be reliable when it comes to the dinim of Tuma V'Tahira. Because one of the dinim of Ama Oretz is that he's not normally makbid on Tuma V'Tahira. That it requires a chaver to be makbid on those dinim. So it says over there that in the event that an Ama Oretz has got this beautiful barrel of wine and he wants to give it over as Truma to a Kohen, well, that Kohen is not going to accept that wine from him, because since it belongs to an Am Haaretz, he's automatically going to have to assume that it wasn't watched properly. Now, if that same Amar Haaretz says that, oh, by the way, in this barrel of wine, there is one revius of Kodesh that I set aside as being meant to be used for Nisachim on the Mizbeach when I was bringing my korban. What do you mean? How did you put that into the... What do you mean, one revius? Well, if you hold, like this Tana holds, of Breira, so then what the Amar Haaretz said was that I was going to pour out the and what I said was that the one revius that comes out when I pour it into the Kli of Hegdesh, that is Kodesh. And therefore, it was Huvra Dover Lemafreya, if you hold of Breira, that was the revius that had been set aside for putting on the Mizbeah. Now, since an Amar Haaretz is believed when it comes to Inyonim of Kodesh, you'll say, how is that possible? It's absurd. If we don't believe him, even the Gabe, the Taira of Truma, we're going to believe him for the Taira of Kodesh? And as the Gemara in Chagiga explains, yes, we will. Why? Because if we accuse Amei Haaretz of having insufficient consciousness to be able to handle Kodesh, the obvious ultimate result of such a thing will be splitting Klal Yisrael into two parts. The Amei Haaretz will build their own Beis HaMikdash, make their own Mizbeach, and say, the hell with the Charedim, we don't want to have anything to do with these idiots, and that will spell the end. So, we're not so stupid as to create that type of insanity. So therefore, we said, when it comes to anything that's going to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash, we will accept the word of the Amar Haaretz, because he too is very careful about Hegdesh and so on. So when it comes to Kodesh, we will believe him. Okay, so now we've got a situation like this. In this barrel, based on Breira, there is one revius that was meant for Hegdesh, and the rest of it is only Truma. And it says in the Mishnah, the Farish, that if the Amar Haaretz says one revius in this whole barrel is actual Kodesh, then he is believed about all the wine in the barrel, and it's all considered to be Tahar. Now, according to you, my dear Rabbi Yitzhak, the Truma in this barrel should make that one revius Tameh, because Truma is Tameh for Kodesh. That's what you said. And here is just the opposite. The fact that there's a one revius of Kodesh in it makes the whole thing Tahar. Now, how do I have to explain that? According to you, this is, even if we believe the Amar Haaretz about the revius of Kodesh, it's all going to become Tomei anyway from the Truma that's in the barrel. And over here, Loka Metamei Le Truma Le Kodesh. But according to you, E Amrit Taharota Tumai Yetzel Kodesh, you say that even a happy barrel of wine, calmly minding its own business, never exposed to Tuma, is automatically Tame. That's what you said. I think it's crazy, but that's what you said. So then all of the wine in this barrel, which is Truma, is Tame. So how did it happen that all of that wine was not Matame, that one revius of Kadesh? Even if we believe the Amar Haaretz, it doesn't make any difference to Tame Truma the Kadesh, according to you. Omar Leh, what kind of crazy question is that? Said Rabbi Yitzchak to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Tuma b'chiburin, comrade? You're asking me from a case where all of this is all together in one container? So it's mechuber? Well, obviously, if we're going to believe the Amar Haaretz on the revius of the Kodesh, we have to believe him that he was careful with this barrel. He couldn't have been careful just with that revius, now could he? I mean, he doesn't know what the revius is. So that means we're believing him on the barrel. So if we're believing on the barrel, anything is in that barrel. Migu de Mehemana Kodesh, Mehemana Mea Truma. If we're believing it vis-a-vis the Kodesh, then we have to believe that the barrel was never exposed to Truma. So what's your problem? Okay, so that's nothing. Fine. Moser Ravuna Barnos, I got another problem. How about the Braita? The Braita says like this. Hasheni Shebechulin, Metame mashkin chulin, uposel ochle truma. So, if you have something that's tame, and it's eaten, or it's consumed by ochle truma, it makes that person, actually, what it means over here is ochle truma. It's not referring to people or eating. It really means ochlin of truma. It's a little bit confusing over here, but it means sheni pasos truma, which we know. Shlishi of chulin will be metame mashke kodesh, because remember, what's the klal, the gavi klal? Mashkin are always chozrim liot rishon. So because of that, if they're exposed even to a sheni, they don't become pasul. They become tame as a rishon. But what about if a sheni shebechulin touch is erchlin of truma? It only makes them pasul. So it's posel ochle truma because a shlishi can't go further and therefore it's only posel. A shlishi of chulin can be betame mashke kodesh because the mash can become a rishon. But food, it will only posel if it's a shlishi of a chulin. So if it touches them, then it will posel them. Fine. Now the question is, what chulin are we talking about that became a shlishi? Ah, we're talking about chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. So what does this say? Chulin shenasu, please, Rabbi Yitzchak, concentrate. It says chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh is going to make posel erchle kodesh, which means it makes it a revi. And you said the only thing that can make an actual revi is Kodesh Mekudesh. Now, when I asked you from Truma 10 minutes ago, you told, oh, Truma is considered to be Tomei. Fine, I'm not asking you from Truma. Now, I'm asking you from Chulin Shenasu al Taras HaKodesh, which you said can never make a Revi. Even real Kodesh couldn't make a Revi. Now, you're going to explain that. Oh, says Rabbi Yitzhak, you're absolutely right. That is completely and totally against everything that I believe. But it's a different Tana, and I don't go according to that Tana. It's a machlokas Tanoim. You want me to tell you who I hold like? I'll tell you, the Tanya. Take a look at this Braita. And I got a Braita that says exactly like me. Chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh harehein kechulin. So the Tanakama holds they are not affected at all, because chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh is a too much of a stretch of the imagination to be considered to be taken seriously, and therefore we're going to be mitaken, it'll be mekabel tuma as if it were kodesh. Please, a joke. Okay, that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Tzadok says, well, if they're nasa al taras kodesh, then they basically become like truma, in the sense that they can be mekabel a level of tuma from Rishon and Sheni, and they can become paso as a shlishi. Whereas, so apparently, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok agrees with me, with Rabbi Yitzchak, that chulin shenasu al taras kodesh cannot make a revi. They could only become maximally a shlishi. That's what I said. You got yourself another braita that says that they can even make the person paso, which means it can create a revi. Fine. I agree, there is such a Tana, but I don't paskin like that Tana. Now, this brings us to the closing of the Mishnah. Fascinating closing. Remember the first part of the Mishnah. So now clear your brains from all of the Shlishi, Shenis, Revis, and questions of Nasa, Ke, or is there a Tuma of difference of the Pre versus the Beget and Midrashes? And just clear it now until you review it 30 to 40 times later today. Let's move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. Notice that all of a sudden Naftali's face is turned into, thank heavens, now I can concentrate. So we'll concentrate on the last part of the Mishnah. Last part of the Mishnah, what did it say? So the first part said, well, if there was no blood, then there was no heksha. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it was uksha b'shchita. So the very fact, remember, what's the whole idea of the concept of heksha? is that you're turning it into a human item. So by washing it off, you're making it into a human item. Now, the fact that monkeys have recently learned almost across the whole globe by now, only those monkeys who don't have cell phones don't know about this, and that is that they also started washing their food. Now, this series is very interesting that it's been picked up by one group of monkeys from another. They start washing their food. So that was originally, but that's, you know, what happens when you can't tell the difference between a monkey, a human, or an AI. That's what happens. Everybody starts washing their food. Now, this does not mean that you should put your Google into the wash, but it certainly does mean that if you do something that makes it into a foodstuff without necessarily washing it, let's say you do shechita. Well, the whole purpose of shechita is to turn something into food. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, what do you need blood for? If you shechted something, it's because you want to eat it. So that itself is makshir lekabel tumah, mukshir b'shechita. Says Rav Asi, that's not all that Rabbi Shimon means. When Rabbi Shimon says mukshir b'shechita, he doesn't mean that, why do you need dam? Shechita is makshir. What he meant was, what are you, crazy, talking about dam? Dam is not makshir. Only shechita is makshir. That's what he meant. So, Oba Rav Asi, Omer Haya Rabbi Shimon, it's shechita that causes the heksher of an animal that is shechut, and it is not the dam of shechita that will cause the animal to be considered to be achila. So when he said in the Mishnah, shechita, he meant only shechita. Well, isn't that basically the way the Mishnah puts it? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hukshiru b'shechita. Doesn't that mean that it is shechita that's makshir? No, of course not. That could mean it's hukshir even b'shechita. You're claiming that it means he is makshir, something is makshir only in the event of shechita, only the shechita, and therefore not the dam. I mean, doesn't necessarily mean that. Well, how about this brayta? Amar lam Rabbi Shimon, v'chi ha-dam makshir, v'alo shechita makshiret. Is it blood that's makshir? Shechita is what's makshir. Doesn't that mean that he holds that dam of shechita is not makshir? Well, he could mean v'chi dam bilvad makshir, meaning do we need dam to be makshir? Isn't shechita enough to be makshir? So maybe that's what he meant. Okay, what about the Mishnah in Makshirin? Rabbi Shimon Omer, dam hamet eno makshir. So let's say an animal just died. It wasn't shechted. It wasn't injured. It simply died of old age. Its blood does not make food mukshir lekabel tumah. So let's remember once again. The din of mukshir lekabel tumah comes from the entire discussion in the pasuk kiyutan mayim al zera, right? Writ spelled as kiyitin mayim. Doesn't say anything about anything but water. However, anything that is considered to be a mashkin in the Torah is compared to water. Dam is clearly considered to be a drinkable mashkin because of the pasuk that says, V'dam chalalim yishteh. This is the basis of including blood as one of the Shiva's mashkin. So, if something died, is it dam chalalim? No. Dam chalalim means something that was killed. So only if it's dam chalalim is it makshir. But a dam hamet eino makshir. Now, from there, you would want to conclude against Rav Asi. If the only example that he can give of blood that isn't makshir because it's not similar to dam chalalim is a dead animal, he obviously holds that a shechted animal is the equivalent of dam chalalim, right? Because otherwise we would have brought that. He would have said, even dam of shechita is not makshir. Instead, he says, dam of a mace is not makshir. Doesn't that imply that dam of shechita is makshir? No. It means dam chalalim is makshir. So what are you saying? That dam shechita is not makshir? Then why didn't he say that? Isn't that a bigger chiddush than saying an animal that's dam dropped out of a heart attack is a makshir? Lashmina dam shechita? The kosher king dam amet. He could have told me. That dam even dam shechita is not called dam chalolim. The kosher king, an animal that's dam died. Why did he talk about dafka dam amet? No. Because dam amet was a bigger chiddush in a sense. Because sanga daita kamina. I might have thought, look, somebody comes along and stabs an animal to death. Is that any different than the Malach HaMoveth stabbing the animal to death? It just died of natural causes, but we know that natural causes is that mean Malach HaMoveth. And that animal was basically stabbed to death. You just don't see the stabbing wounds. So what's the difference whether a human murders this animal or that grim reaper reaps this animal? It's the same thing. Kamash Malan is, of course, not the same thing. But the Dam Shechita would also, for sure, that is not considered to be Chalolin. That's considered to be part of the process of eating. Okay, I'll bring you another ray against Rabasi. Tashma, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Dam Agafato Eino Machshir. If an animal got a cut and is bleeding, that blood is not Machshir. Mashma. That worse than that, if it would be Dam Shechita, would be Machshir. No, the same thing. It means Dam, if you hadn't just cut it, but you had killed it by cutting it, it would be Machshir. So I don't get it. So what are you saying? That Dam Shechita would not be Machshir? And why didn't he say so? Isn't that a bigger Kiddush than a cut? Lashmina Dam Shechita. Even Dam Shechita is not Machshir. Kol Shekein Dam Agafato. And here, too, that's not true. Because Dam Agafato, I need to know, is not Machshir. Because, look, is there a difference whether you cut this animal to death or whether you cut off its foot and it's bleeding copiously, but it didn't die? So I would have thought, what's the difference if you kill the whole animal or you kill its foot? I mean, basically, it's the same kind of Dam, isn't it? And I would have thought that that is considered to be Dam Chalalim. So Rabbi Shimon said, no. Dam Chalalim means that it actually killed the animal. But she'en kein Dam Shechita, not. So where does all of this come from? What's so special about Dam Chalalim? Umayshna Dam Chalalim, that's Machshir. That's because it says Dam Chalalim Yishteh. But it says beferish about Dam Shechita, it says Ala Aretz Tishpachenu Kamayim. So it's talking about over there, the pasuk before was talking about katzvi v'chayol, and al aretz tishpachenu kamayim. Okay, so hatameh v'ator yachtav katzvi v'chayol, but certainly the dam you're not allowed to eat. Rak adam lo tochel al aretz tishpachenu kamayim. So that would mean that we are comparing blood to water, and there it's talking about shechita. So why does Rabbi Shimon say that only Dam Chalalim is compared to water? There's a beautiful pasuk that says Kamayim. I mean, it's much better than Dam Chalalim is there. So for sure it should be Metame. Machshir. No, according to Rabbi Shimon, that pasuk is a continuation of the pasuk before. What was the pasuk before? Katzvi v'chayya, right? Atameh v'atahor yachtav yochlenu katzvi v'chayya. What is that pasuk referring to? That's our favorite pasuk that defines Psulei HaMukdashim, remember? So Psulei HaMukdashim, which are still Kodesh in the sense that they're Osir Begiza ube Avodah, you can eat them, however, betuma, as if they were chayot, like a tzvi, and an ayal. And what about their blood? So you might have thought that their blood is usur bahana. Why? Because they're still hegdesh. The only heter that you gave was for achila, but you're not allowed to use them for doing work, or you're not allowed to use them for shearing their wool. So maybe you're not allowed to have any hana from their dam. And there's like a din of me'ila and kachim, even though they're psulei hamukdashim that you were paid at. This comes along the pasuk, according to Rabbi Shimon, to say, nah, you can throw out the blood and it would be like water. You don't have to bury it. You don't have to make sure that nobody's going to use it for hana. And therefore, the meaning of this pasuk is to tell me that those kosher, those kosher, I'm really sorry about this. Those kachim that are being eaten, kitzvi v'chayal, namely, that they're psulei hamukdashim, the next pasuk is a continuation, kitzvi v'chayal, Rak adam lo tochval al oretz shebechenu kamayim. L'mishrei daman de psulei ha-mukdoshim ba'ana ahu de'asa. Why do I need that? Because I would have thought, sarka de'chamina. Since even though these are psulei ha-mukdoshim that you paid good money for to be paid at, they remain aser b'gizava avodah. So you might think that the dam of these animals are still aser b'ana as if they're hegdesh, and therefore I should need to be kaver that dam instead of just pouring it out. Kamash malan, it's like water. Can you use water for whatever you want? You can use this dam for whatever you want. But it has nothing to do with comparing it to water in terms of the dinim of mashkin. Therefore, Tainis Rabbi Shimon, the dam of Chalolim, and only the dam of Chalolim, as opposed to dam Ashrita, is Makshir Kabal Tuma. Woo. Okay, so that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. And now that makes the Mishnah work, in fact, much better when he says that it's the Mukhshar b'shchita is because he's looking at you like you're crazy. Well, whoever heard, I don't know what you're talking about. Dom, what dom? This is a regular case of an animal that was shechted. Every animal that shechted always becomes mukhshar l'kabal tuma because of the shchita. What does that have to do with dom? Dom was never an element because dom of shchita is not dom chalalim. Excellent, gentlemen.
Whoa. Is there two more lines, Rudy?
It's been a busy, busy week. Yeah. Okay. I want to start the next circuit tomorrow. So let's just think about these. These have been very, very full and difficult dapim because they are filled with sugyas that are not as familiar, as they should be. And because of that, these dinim appear to be rather arcane. And it's really, it makes it difficult if you're not familiar with the sugyas. It seems to be overwhelmingly complex. So we've talked about all kinds of dinim that have to do with Tumah V'Tahira for the past couple of days, and including the din of Heksher here too, which is an easier element to understand. But nonetheless, it too is part of the concepts that we had in Tyrus, in Seder Tyrus. And so we've spoken about today the question of the difference between a beged that was possibly tame because of not touching, but because of midras. And midras is much more likely to happen. So we had an amazing machlokas about whether this din of Big Day Amei Haaretz or Big Day Echli Truma and so on, whether those is a general halacha that without any exposure to Tuma, even the peirot are considered of Truma, are considered to be tame, or this is a special halacha Binogea specifically Tumas Midras. That is a major difference. We spoke about the further differences between Mukhshar L'Kabal Tuma, between Shlishi of Truma, Chulin Shanasa Taras HaKadosh, and Chulin Shanasa Al Taras Truma. And we learned for the first time of an actual Tana Beferish, who says there is Beferish no such thing as Chulin Shanasa Al Taras HaKadosh. Before, we wanted to attribute such a shita to Rabbi Yoshua. Now we have an actual Tana that says, Beferish, if you make something, Chulin Shanasa Al Taras HaKadosh, it remains completely, it's not even makabel, any kind of psul from a sheni, because it's just plain old chulin. So, okay, I hope you have the opportunity to review this. View these beautiful dapim as being really gateways to whole vast sugyas that keep coming up and that generally don't have a specific place that is dedicated to them. There's just a few places in Chas where you can really get these dinim clear. And remember that there's going to be this major, Barnes not here, I can't even scare him. But remember the major, Bechina that is given to the Kohanim. When they come now to work in the Beis HaMikdash, I mean, if Chagai had all of this concerns and so on, it's probably worthwhile while boning up on these halachas, which will become very nogea in a very short time. You thought keeping kosher was difficult. Now, let me tell you.
I remember Rebbe's Bechita 45 years ago.
Huh? It's a good beginning. I had a call yesterday from David Shaw. Yo, you don't even know David. No, of course not.
He was here in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, right, he did. Visited here in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so he was in Eretz Yisrael in 1974, right? So notice this is over 50 years ago, and he calls me up to say that he learned chulin with me in 1974. And that learning that chulin so totally changed his life. He didn't even realize it at the time. He said, I was only 18 years old. My brain wasn't working. I didn't know what was going on. But within 2 years, it had made such an impact on him. He dedicated his entire life to Shvita. He became this famous sheikhet and a male. And he became like, you know, very much centerpiece of the whole Kehillah. He was part of the whole Dallas community. All because of that limud of Shchuin, it totally changed my life. So it's, I figured after 50 years, I should call up and say thank you. Very sweet. Anyway, so you never know. It might settle in one of these days. Alrighty. Kol tov, everyone. It's been lovely. Sweet. Being with
amazing daf, Rebbe.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you were there, I think, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I was saying you were there. At that same siyum. I have a picture of him at that siyum, really, doing the barbecuing. He used to do all the barbecues.
Is that when Rebbe made the movie at the Schlacht House in Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the guys?
Yeah. Gabi, you were not part of that movie, though, right?
Yes, I was.
Oh.
Sorry, yes, I was.
You were? Oh, so I thought you told me yesterday that you're okay. So was David Shaw in that movie? My wife claims he was in that movie.
Yeah, of course he was.
He was. Okay, fine. All right. I'm sorry, you know. You forget some details. Sorry.
Maybe.
Yeah. Listen, you're a newcomer, Mo. I'm sorry. We're talking all
here. One question. The Kavura and the Dam and the Kisya Dam, in terms of how they're done.
That's only Chaya.
The difference?
No connection. No connection whatsoever.
No, but I'm saying that Kavura is just
no connection. Yeah, Kavura is just Kavura if it's Asur Ba'ana, but we haven't talked about Dam that needs Kavura. We said you might have thought it needed Kavura, but it doesn't. No connection to Kisya Dam. Like I say, neophytes, how long ago? It's only 49 years ago. Forget it. Okay, so neophytes are not welcome.
But Barney has an idea, so I'm going to say, well, we used to do to the newcomers and the ninth graders.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's, you know, you're getting it back now. All right, go to everyone. Thank you so much.